Good morning. It's good to be with you today in our second session of this series, Healing in My Redemption, and making it personal for us. So as we get started today, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for what you started to teach us last week, and I look forward to what you're going to have the Holy Spirit teach us individually this week. I just declare that the voice of the Holy Spirit, your voice, is the only one that I'll listen to and respond to, and that people who are hearing this today will have an open heart. I ask you especially for those who may not be familiar with some of the scriptures we're going to be talking about today, to open their ears so clearly that they can hear you talking to them, especially those who are in need of healing, even in a severe way. So we thank you for what you're going to do in this session, and we just declare we will receive, we will be changed, and we won't be the same. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We began talking last week about what has already been provided by my Goel concerning healing in the redemptive work. And some we talked about may say that, well, I didn't see anything in the book of Ruth about it. But I want to talk about three different things that really give us an idea of what a Goel has provided for you and I, our Goel, Jesus. In Ruth, it was a type and shadow of what Jesus was going to do. And even though there wasn't any direct physical healing, we pointed out last week as we looked at and talked about it that Ruth and Naomi would have had great lack if they hadn't. And lack would have produced a sickness and disease. And we noted how it's interesting that the word that is used for evil, which could be sin, is the root word for those other two words. There's just a natural progression between evil or sin, lack, and then sickness. So we can see that even in the word derivation. The second thing we talked about is consider the Redeemer of Israel, who is Jehovah, who became a husband to them, and how they came out from slavery. We looked at Psalm 105, verse 37. Which says, he brought them out with silver and gold, and among his tribes there were no one who stumbled, or no one who was feeble, or no one who was infirmed. So we see a deliverance there of both provision and healing in the deliverance of the children of Israel. And finally, with Jesus as our redemption, we looked at Acts 10:38. And just let me read this portion of it. How Jesus went about doing good and healing all who had been oppressed by the devil. And so we know today that we've been set free from that oppression. And you're going to see that even more directly today. We looked also at the first chapter of Mark, at Jesus encountering and then bringing healing to the leper. And what did the leper say? I know you can if you will. And what did Jesus do? He really corrected his theology. He told him exactly what he would do. And it was, why, of course I will. And then we begin to say, well, okay, if he says that, then what does this scripture say to us? And we looked at two separate things. The first that we looked at was three scriptures which give us direct comments that he has not changed. So it's the same for us today, including Hebrews 13:8, which simply says, Jesus Christ, who is the Word, is the same yesterday, today, and yes, forever. And I would add, so that if Jesus is the Word, then both the Word and Jesus, his heart, is exactly the same today as it was then. And then the second question we ask is, okay, if it's still his will, is it for me? Is it his will for everybody? And we looked at three verses there. The first one being, or one being, Romans 2:11, which says, God does not show favoritism. And that's New Living Translation. And then we looked at 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. And here's how it reads, for as many as may be the promises of God, in him they are yes. Now, that is saying, through the words of Paul, through the Holy Spirit, which is coming from the Father, that his desire today is for you and I, and these promises are yes and amen. And then we really looked at what some of the covenant promises were that we have from the Old Testament. In Exodus 15, the Lord revealed to himself to the children of Israel as what? As the Lord, your healer, Jehovah Rapha. And then in Psalm 91, verse 10, it says, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. So these promises are true today for you and I. We also talked about Galatians 3:13, and we really wrapped it up here last week and set the stage for today, which says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So he bore all the curses, and we get the blessings. But we have to believe for them, we have to receive it, and we have to act in our authority. And we'll get into that in some later sessions. Now, we ended with the scripture last week that says from Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. So now let's jump back in and pick up from what we saw in Galatians 3:13 last week. And I want you to go with me, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy. But before I go there, let me read you a scripture. Now, some of you, I know, have heard me teach some of this before, but not in the way we're going to be doing it today. But I just want to remind you of what Peter said in his second epistle, the first chapter, verses 12, 13, and then we'll read 15. And this is from the Passion Translation. And this is really how I feel. And no, I'm not planning on going anywhere. I won't hesitate to continually remind you of these truths. Even though you are aware of them and are well established in the present measure of truth you already embraced. And as long as I live, I will continue to awaken you with this reminder. In 15, he adds, indeed, I am passionate to share these things with you so that you will always remember them after my exodus from this life. And so I share that same. I want these things, these truths that we're talking about today, to become the first things that rise up in your heart when you're attacked with something that is trying to take your health or it relates to any other promises we have. So let's go to Deuteronomy 28. And I want to start with verses 1 and 2. Now Moses has talked to the Lord and he's telling the people some things that it says. And listen to what he's saying. Now it shall be, if you shall diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you above all the nations of the earth. And two, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey. Now, can I just tell you that man was never able to do this? And that is why Jesus was sent. He was the only one who could fulfill the law. And in doing so, he did it for you and I. So we could literally read this from a New Testament perspective. Now it shall be since Jesus diligently obeyed the Lord your God and did all the commandments which I told him, that all these blessings are going to come if we believe it and receive it. And again, stand in our authority when the devil tries to hinder it. They're going to come upon us. Now, people say, well, with grace, you know, Jesus did all the obedience. There are still promises in the New Testament that require us to say what? I will be obedient to your word. I will do what you instruct us to do. And so I don't want us to discount obedience. But with these, then, let's go to verses 3 and 4. So Jesus has done in his redemption for us, he's qualified us to receive what we're about to read, blessings, and then we'll be talking about the curses because we can learn about blessings from what is not being laid upon us. Verse 3 says, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beast, the increase of your herd, and of your flock. Now, as I read these, what do you think about when you think about these blessings? What do you think is going to be included in them? To remind ourselves, I think, of what might be included in them, I would suggest we go back thinking about the garden and what was provided in the garden. Well, everything that he needed, including healing, because there was no sin there. Sin had not come. Healing was a part of it. And so every time you think about what God wants to do for you, go back to that perspective. Now, in doing that and reminding ourselves, and we'll think about healing, we'll think about provision, or no lack, I might say. We'll think about peace. But foremost, we'll be thinking about having a relationship with the Lord as Adam and Eve would have in their walks with Him in the cool of the day. Now, I'm not going to read all of these. I just want to touch on a couple just to make the points. You can go down and reread these again. That's always something good for us to do. Verse 10 says, "So all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord." That's still important to us today. Isn't that what Psalms tells us in several Psalms? Isn't that what Isaiah tells us when he says, "Arise, shine," and that people will come to the brightness of our light? We are to be a testimony of His goodness, and He's provided that to us, we've seen, through the redemption, as He became the curse so that we might be the blessed and as we are made righteous. Look down also with me to verse 13. It says, "And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall only be above and you shall not be underneath, if you will listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully." Now that is a powerful, powerful statement. What is it, as you think about this, what does it mean that we're going to be the head, not the tail, above and not beneath? Well, how were the children of Israel in Egypt? They were dominated. They were oppressed. They were burdened by the Egyptians. How were we with sin and the impacts of sin? But this is telling us we can walk free of that. Why? Because we've been translated, Colossians 1:13 tells us, from what? The dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light of His beloved Son. Verse 14 in Deuteronomy 28 tells us, "Do not turn away from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them." Now, He's not commanding us, but He says that we now have the choice because we love Him, and it's through that love that we're going to be obedient to His word. And then we've got promises several times in John 14 of what He will do when we ask for things, and even abiding with us. And how did it happen? It all happened because of what Galatians 13 says, that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. But verse 15 then goes on to introduce this. It says, "But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to do all His commandments and His statutes which I charge you today," which we never could have done, but because of grace and mercy that is in our redemption, we have it so that we still can ask forgiveness when we willfully miss it. And look what it says, "And all these curses will come upon us." That's what it meant to the Jewish people. But for you and I today, because of forgiveness that we have through our redemption, through our new birth, through being made righteous, He will forgive us of that, so He will not hold back these things. And just remember now, and I want to say this one more time, John 14:21. We can learn some things about obedience and love as we read this and some other verses. Listen to what it says in the Passion Translation. "Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love you in return, and will manifest my life, Zoe life, in you." Certainly, that includes healing, because He has an eternal life. And remember, it's the resurrected Jesus now that is our identity. So obedience means that we really have known and experienced His love. And then when we do that, even if we miss it, what does it keep us from? Condemnation, so that we don't get into where we're criticizing and beating ourselves up. Now, I want to look at a number of verses, less than 10 probably, about the curse, because I just want you to see that healing is necessary to us because we're still attacked with some of these things, but they're listed in the curse, which means what? We can proclaim, and I'm just going to hold my Bible up. You probably can't see it, but this is where the curses begin in my Bible. And down this side, I have redeemed from these. I've written in all caps, and it goes all the way from the bottom, top to the bottom of the page. So things that I'm going to read to you today, we have been redeemed for. So if there's any of this that rises up in you, well, I suffer from that. No, you don't have to. You have been redeemed for it. Begin to declare it, that it has no right in you. Again, some of these declarations we'll get into a little later. Let's start in verse 21. I need to make one other statement. Now, we're going to see some things about I will put on you. Some translations may use the word allow, but in the Hebrew language, what I have learned is that there is no permissive verb form. So this is not the Lord saying, I'm going to do this. It's like the snakes in the desert. They were already there. But when they rebelled against him and he withheld his mercy, what happened to the snakes? They came out until they repented, had Moses pray, and then they were healed as they, if they'd been bitten, as they looked up at the bronze serpent on the pole. So verse 21 says, the Lord will make pestilence cling to you. Now that's plagues and infections. That could be COVID even. And it's going to cling to you until it has consumed you. And look where it's consuming him from the land. You see that tie back with Ruth and our redemption. He gave them that land and he wanted them to prosper where? In that land. But to do it, they needed a redeemer, and that's why Jesus was coming, to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. Verse 22 talks about he will smite you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, fiery heat, even the sword, blight, mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. So he's saying these things will destroy you. They are part of the curses, but what do we say? And I want us to begin to say this after each set of verses. No, they will not destroy me. I've been redeemed. Look at verse 28. It's not just physical. It gets into the soulish realm. The Lord will smite you with madness and with blindness and bewilderment of the heart, confusion. You know, I've prayed with a number of people in recent weeks who have been fighting some of these same things, even depression, which to me is a bewilderment of the heart. Verse 29 says, we will grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness. See how it's darkness that is rising, that is being exalted? And you shall not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed. Does that sound like what we've been delivered from? Yes. With none to save you. Yet we know by Galatians 3:13 that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So we just declare again, we've been redeemed from madness. We've been redeemed from bewilderment of heart. We've been redeemed from diseases of the eyes, including blindness. I have to turn over to verse 60. And really, let's back up and read 59. And it says, the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues and miserable and chronic sicknesses. So I like to read this verse when I'm praying for people who have long-standing illnesses so that they see that we have been delivered from these by our Redeemer. Verse 60 goes on to say, and he'll bring back all the diseases of Egypt which were clinging to you. And 61, every sickness and every plague not written in this book will also come upon them. That's part of what? For you and I. No, I will not accept those. Those are things from which what? I have been redeemed. They do not belong to me anymore. Verse 65, and amongst the nations, and here we're getting into more of the mental disturbances that we see people engaged in today. Among the nations, you shall find no rest. In other words, no ease. There's going to be no peace. There's just going to be anxiety. and there shall be no resting place for the foot of your soul. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and despair of soul. So there again is something akin to great depression. But what do we say concerning verses 65 and 66? No, I am redeemed from these curses. They have no right in my body, in my soul, none. Verse 66 says, so your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall be in dread night and day. That's fear. But we've been told we've been redeemed from that. You'll see that in just a moment. And we'll have no assurance of our life. Well, we have absolute assurance. We will lay down this physical body, but our life is an eternal life now. And so what do we say? No, these are not ours. We've been redeemed from it. And then finally in verse 67, and in the morning you'll say, would that it were evening. And in the evening you'll say, would that it was tomorrow morning, because of the dread of your heart, for which you dread, and for the sight of your eyes, which you'll see. So again, what are we being delivered for? Oppression, dominance, torment, burden, all those things that come with the curse. We say, no, I am redeemed from all of these things. I don't have to be perfect. I do my very best. I follow the Lord. But Jesus fulfilled this. Thus, I have been redeemed from these curses. Now, I want you to look with me at Psalm 107. And I want to read the first two verses, and we're going to read them from two different translations, because this ought to be our reaction every day to what we've just talked about with these blessings and these curses. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness, His mercy, His hesed, His covenant love is everlasting. In other words, you didn't earn it. Jesus purchased it when you accepted Jesus and asked Him to come to live in your heart and believed in His words. It's there with you. And then it says, after that, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So we are saying that. We are saying we are the redeemed of the Lord because of His covenant promises, His covenant hesed, and the sacrifice that we're about to see that Jesus made on the cross. It finishes up in verse 2. Let me read the first part again. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. This says to me, there's no partial redemption. It's total. The devil does not have the right to place his hand on you, to impact you. Will he try? Absolutely. And you and I are that determining factor. Are we going to stand up in the authority we have? Now, I want to look at some scriptures in Isaiah, and specifically at some things that are portrayed of what is to come concerning the new covenant as we look at the words of our Father. So I want us to go to Isaiah chapter 52. And I have never taught these in this sequence that I'm going to do today, or together like we're going to do. So let's enjoy these. Let's let faith arise in us. We may not get through all of these, so we may have to stop, and we'll pick up sometime next week as we get going. But in Isaiah 52, the first three verses. So let me read 1 and 2. Awake, awake. Clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean will no more come to you. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose yourselves from the chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. So he's telling them to what? Awake. And he's telling them to wake from all these things that have happened to him, where they have now been what? Had chains put around their neck. They've been captive. The uncircumcised have come and taken them over. But what is he saying awake from? He's saying awake from the fact that you've died spiritually and it's impacted you physically. So awake from this sleep you have, from this ignorance of the Lord. And I want you to then notice in these verses, in verse 1 and 2, the words, clothe yourself in your strength. Clothe yourself with beautiful garments. He talks about shake yourself from the dust. Loose yourself. How could they do that? Do you see that he's talking about the state of time that you and I are living in today, this age of grace, the time after the cross and the resurrection that Jesus has purchased as he has what? Redeemed us from sin and slavery to sin and all its impact back to the Father. So it's those things we've been talking about, but again, this relationship. Verse 3, for thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money. And what do we know? We were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. Now, when I read this, redeemed without money, I think about Isaiah 55, the first verses of that chapter, which says, if you're thirsty, come and drink, and you can buy and eat with what? Without money. All this is being provided free if we will just turn to Him, accept it, and walk in it. That includes our healing. Look at verse 7 now in this chapter. It says, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news and who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Now, that ought to remind you of some New Testament scriptures in Romans. It goes on and says, your watchmen raise up their voices. They shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion, redeems, restores. Break forth, shout joyfully together, you waste places, verse 9 reads, of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted His people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Do you see that He is prophesying this and talking about this as what? As if it is a finished, completed act. And therefore, He's telling them, if you believe it, you can begin to do what verse 1 says. Clothe yourselves, shake off that dust, loose yourself from the chain around your neck. Then verse 10, the Lord has bared His holy arm in the sight of all nations. He showed Himself strong. But remember that phrase, bared His holy arm, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. So the Lord wants everyone to see this. Remember, they are to be a people above all nations. So that what? So that people are drawn to them to say, I want what you have. That is just so powerful. Again, salvation coming, but we see in this our redemption. Now, hold your place there and turn right back to Isaiah 49. And I want to read 5 or 6 verses here. And you'll see this, all this come together in what we're about to read. In Isaiah 49, verses 13 through 15. Shout for joy, O heavens, and rejoice, O earth. Break forth into joyful shoutings, O mountain, for the Lord has comforted His people and will have compassion. In other words, He will love on those who have been afflicted. Now, when you read that, just as I have said to you, the children of Israel celebrated when they crossed the Red Sea, once they were redeemed. But with faith today, we're required to believe it, and so that it will do what? It will manifest in our body. So as the children of Israel should have celebrated their deliverance before they stepped into the Red Sea, We too today ought to be doing these things because, folks, it's already a finished act for you and I. 14, but Zion says, but people say, the Lord has forsaken me. He's forgotten me. And then he says, excuse me, I've jumped too far down. And I think I told you verse 8. So let me finish this and then we'll come back and finish up these in verse 13. I want you to see verse 14. But Zion has said, the Lord has forsaken me and the Lord has forgotten me. Now I read that because this is the attitude that we sometimes get into when things come against us. But what he's encouraging them to do, and what I skipped over leading up to that verse, is to believe these things so that you can have confidence and faith that your Redeemer has already come. So back up to 48, to verse 8. Thus says the Lord, in a favorable time I have answered you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you, and I will keep you and give you for a covenant to the people, of the people. And he's talking to Jesus now. To restore the land, to make them inherit the desolate, to say to those who are bound, go forth, to say to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Along the roads they will feed, and their pasture will be on bare heights. They will not hunger or thirst, so there's no lack to bring on sickness. Neither will the scorching heat or sun strike them down, for he who has compassion on them will lead them, and I will guide them to my springs of water, and I will make all mountains, all my mountains a road, and my highways shall be raised up. Behold, these shall come from afar, and lo, will come from the north and the west, and the land of Sinim. Now, that almost sounds like we're reading Isaiah 61 from our New Covenant perspective, doesn't it? It does. And so what he's telling the people is you can celebrate this today. That's why he says in verse 13 that I already read, be shouting for joy. Rejoice, but call and break into joyful shoutings. And he says, I have comforted you. Now, Jesus had not come yet, but he, in the mind of the Lord, this has already been complete. And if it's complete for them, what do we know about you and I? It's absolutely complete for you and I. Now, go back and let's finish Isaiah 52 today. Isaiah 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Now, this is talking about whom? About our Jesus. And you say, well, boy, what I know is coming in Isaiah 53. That doesn't sound like it. How's he going to prosper? How's he going to be high and lifted up? Look over in verse 12 of Isaiah 53. Because he's done all these things that we'll be studying probably next week, I will allot a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he has poured out himself to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sins of many. Now, just let me point out with this. He will divide the booty with the strong. Who is he referring to there? Well, who has been made strong as the Redeemer comes to dwell and live with us? So this is saying we're going to benefit from what he's accomplished as he shares this with us, in that he took us and bore sins and their impact so that we don't have to have it. Now I want you to go back to Isaiah 52, and let's talk about verses 14 and 15. Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance, talking about Jesus on the cross, was marred more than any man. And notice how he's speaking of it as in a past tense. So it's hard for you and I to think we can celebrate this when we read that, but that's really what we saw just prior in the scriptures we looked at, that we can do. And he goes on then to say, and his form more than the sons of man. So how bad was he marred? Worse than any man has, so bad that he didn't even look like a man. Thus he will sprinkle many nations. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What does that mean? Sprinkle many nations. Might it mean that he is placing his blood on those of many nations, not just the children of Israel, but bringing thus the Gentiles into the fold? Kings will actually shut their mouths on account of him. For what had not been told them, they will see. And what they had not heard, they will understand. Wow. And so that really brings us then to Isaiah 53. And let's just jump into it. He asked the question, who has believed our message or our report? In other words, are you going to believe what I just said? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Remember, he bared that arm in raising Jesus up from the dead for everyone to see. And then it said, for he grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a man, one that the Father definitely loved, but he had to do it in this fragile body that we lived in, we do live in now, and grow up in that. And then it says, and like a root out of parched ground. So it's like a supernatural thing happened for him to be born, and that's exactly what it has. It restates, he has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him. In other words, he didn't come with a radiating face all the time. He didn't look like a god that would come down from the mountains of the Greeks and supposedly show themselves, nor any appearance that we should be attracted to him. And then we get to verse 3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, the word there literally means pains, and acquainted with grief, which means sicknesses, and was like one from whom men hid their face. He was despised, and we did not esteem him, the Jewish people. He's saying that why? Because they thought he was going through all this punishment, and they thought he was mocking God and was not the Son of God, was not their Goel, and they did not receive him at all. Then we get to verse 4. Surely our griefs, and that word could literally mean sicknesses, he bore, and our sorrows he carried. Now, can we just stop there? The word there for griefs is the word choli, C-H-O-L-I. And our sorrows literally means pain, and it's another Jewish word, which is M-A-K-A-B. Let me tell you about this word grief, that's translated grief here. This word choli is used 24 times in the Old Testament. In all but 4 of the times, it is translated sickness. You know, I've heard stories of one translation that was being done where the people resigned because they would not say and use the word sickness as it's used here. And so what I want you to see is that this is so strong because the Lord is saying to us, he bore your sicknesses and your diseases he carried. Now we want to finish this verse and we'll probably just pause here. Well, we'll do 5 and then we'll pick up next week. Then it says, yet we ourselves seen him stricken, smitten of God because of what we talked about earlier. And then the verses, and we're going to cover this and we're going to come back next week, but I don't want to end hanging on this cliff here. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed or bruised for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Now I want to end today by reading you 2 translations of these 2 verses. And I want to leave you with this fact. What is being described here is him bearing our physical diseases and pains in his body on the cross. Listen to the Young's literal translation. This is a man who understood exactly what these words mean. Surely our sicknesses he has borne, and our pains he hath carried them. And we have esteemed him plagued, smitten of God and afflicted. And he is pierced for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And by his bruise, those welts and deep cuts on his back, there is healing to us. Complete Jewish Bible. In fact, it was our diseases he bore and our pains from which he suffered. Verse 5, but he was wounded because of our crimes, crushed because of our sins. The discipling that makes us whole fell on him. So that's talking about the peace. And by his bruises, we are healed. So you get a different picture when you read it that way. And that's what I want to leave you with until we gather again next week. And then we're going to finish this. One of the things you're going to see is that this was so strong in the heart of the Lord that you're going to see Scripture says it pleased him to do this with Jesus. Now, I want to close today by just reminding you of the verse we closed with last week once more. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God, those words that we have just read leading up to Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, and including those words stand forever. Be blessed as you study this week. I pray revelation will come to you as you go over it, and we'll pick up right here and continue our discussion next week. Be blessed.